This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 399. Really? Holy crap. I'm your host, Brian Kilby. With me, Rob Springer, XV, a.k.a. Chris, Diecast. And if you're watching the video, you will not see Rob Clay, Melvar, Don, and John DeLuna. Sorry.
I'm not even sure Don is still here, because Don has not said anything for a while. The cat may have killed him.
I hope not.
I'm still.
Oh, hi, Don.
I'm still hanging in.
The video is just going to flicker on, and we'll see Don's severed head on like the paw of Massey, like a puppet.
Don, was that a cat joke? I'm just hanging in there.
It's fine.
This is
everything is all right.
Yeah, everything.
Oh God, I'm so scared.
This is the first episode of the year. The last episode of 2014 was our recap of, God, what a year that was. Basically, all
what
the
episode that was.
No, yeah, that was almost four hours, about 3.5 hours worth of show, about 4 hours worth of recording. Oh my God, it was so hard. But it's worth going back and listening to if you haven't heard it yet. We recapped all the major news items of the year on the show this week. We're actually going to talk about our favorite items from the year. News items and toys, as well as predictions for 2015. This episode of Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audibletrial.com/RFC. Okay, last time I mentioned that for a while. Let's see here. So Diecast posted quite a few reviews to YouTube. Diecast is awesome, and we'll link to those in the show notes. And of the ones that you reviewed in the past week, Diecast, what was your favorite?
Oh, It's tough. I would say it would be between two. It would be between Turbo Ejector and Soar. And
Ultra Magnet. Well, the last couple weeks. What about Ultra Magnus?
Oh, Ultra Magnet. Oh, yeah. I was thinking third party. Sorry. Yeah, Ultra Magnus. And it was like, you know, there was nothing coming before Christmas. It was all supposed to, I think. And then all of a sudden, like within the last week and a half, I just got hit with like package after package. And it's like overload. There's so much here.
And but, after people stopped throwing boxes at you, started getting toys in the mail.
Yeah.
So actually, speaking of getting toys, Don, did you get your RC?
I have RC.
Did you open RC?
I have opened RC.
What do you think?
I think it's a very good toy. No way it could have been a Headmaster at the deluxe price point. It really would not have been feasible, and probably would have hurt the figure if they had tried. I do regret it took this long to get one, because I don't see a lot of engineering in there that we couldn't have gotten a year or two.
Oh, say 17 years ago?
Yeah, you know, there's not anything great technology-based in there that we had to wait to get, but we got it. I'm happy. I am hoping for a masterpiece, RC, before too long, being in air quotes there. But I'm very happy with the figure, and the long wait is over.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, some of us 10 years ago got the Energon one. I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah, that's a great
Well, you have those standards, Rob. That's the point.
Now, well, that was the real one.
Did you get the open-handed or close-handed version?
I've got the open-handed one. I'll be on the lookout for a close-handed one.
Does anyone besides Diecast have the close-handed version?
I haven't got it yet.
Really?
I haven't seen it yet. I pretty much went to Christmas shopping, not worrying about myself mode. And then, like, the stuff I did say, I got myself some new RID stuff. And then, like, it's like the week after New Year's, I'm in, like, don't buy crap mode for a week or two because, well, it's recovering from Christmas nonsense. I go over.
Okay, so here's the deal with stuff in stores right now. Like, Combiner Wars, everything but the leaders are out at retail at Target.
Right. Right.
If you go to Walmart, you will probably find Chromium RC eventually. The Legends are at Target and Toys R Us. And that's basically the spread right now.
I'm sure. I said, I've just... I think the last toy I got was on New Year's Eve. And, like, maybe this week and I'll buy myself something. I'm just like, being a responsible adult, I was going, wow, I sure do miss a couple of grand each December.
Yeah. Like a New Year's resolution that I have for myself this year is to be more responsible with toy buying.
Because yeah.
I've kind of gone crazy here and there. And so I know I've mentioned it on the show before. I have a prepaid card that I use for pre-orders for internet purchases because I don't want to be hacked. Not that I don't trust things like that, but
it just happens. It's the modern age,
and it happens. It's happened
a lot in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
I'm actually really good at watching my finances for toys. I always have been.
You must be the richest Shah of Iran because your collection is absurd.
I can float a nickel, man. I can make money work even when I don't have it. It's like, I think the closest I came to irresponsibility was college when I was like, okay, I've got $20 till payday.
How much pizza can that buy?
No, Don, you're thinking wrong. Let me tell you this. My parents live 5 minutes away, and they smother me. I'm going to buy depth charge, go visit mom, and she's going to buy me groceries. Drive an economy car, that tank full of gas in 1999 will last the month.
Yeah, like when I was...
although we're kind of back to that now, aren't we?
Not in Georgia. It is still over $2 a gallon.
It's still over $2 a gallon here.
It's over $2 a gallon.
Yeah, I know.
Over $2 a gallon.
It's been on the news. They've actually said like, hey, well, since gas prices are going so low, we might hike the prices on gas to pay for some things. And it's like, the whole place is out. We're all out of a job, except for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The whole state is...
So, Transformers. With this past week for me, quite a few things came in. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe so much stuff. I'm not as bad as Diecast. I mean, Diecast, what all have you gotten in the past couple weeks?
Oh, I've gotten this. I've gotten the blaster, the KFC blaster.
Transistor.
I've gotten DX9s.
Invisible.
DX9.
I never remember this crap.
Oh, it's like so
did
much.
You do
like,
reviews for these diecasts?
Yeah, I did reviews, and it's like all the names.
Soar.
Turbo Ejector, which is where the DX9 upgrade kit for the Evasion Mode Optimus Prime.
All of the Combiner Wars figures.
All the Combiner Wars
Masterpiece
stuff.
Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. So basically, for me, it was all of the Combiner Wars figures and Terminus Hexatron. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. So I'm budgeting myself. So I'm gonna basically changing my direct deposit, putting a small amount on that card, and buying nothing more than that. I have to. I feel bad. What about you guys? Anybody else get anything? I think we all got Combiner Wars. We're all pretty much we have most of that, if not all of it. I know Rob's missing a couple pieces. Rob Clay.
I've got the Voyagers.
Do you like them?
Yes, I do, actually. The Optimus Prime is not my ideal Optimus Prime, but it is pretty well made for what it is. It works better as an individual toy than you might expect. You could never combine it, and it would still be a half-decent Optimus Prime. Silverbolt is actually really great.
I've yet to open Silverbolt.
Knees on mine are a little weak, but otherwise good.
I love him. Silverbolt
is surprising in how good it is.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like Silverbolt.
We have more G1 Silverbolts like post 2007 than we had in G1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
what else is of a surprising level of quality? Superion. Against all odds.
No, your Superion has a bad arm.
Well, it'll do for now. The jaundice will clear up in a couple months.
I'm pretty sure I'll have the complete lineup by February.
Probably.
Yeah. I've gotten some of the new RID stuff, and I've been happy with it.
I haven't, other than the one-step or two-step, whatever they are, changers, I haven't come across any more RID stuff. The only one I have is Grimlock.
I've got Grimlock and Steeljaw's Warrior class. I've seen pretty much the entire line. Like I said, it's just Christmas, and it's not time to think about yourself.
I want to focus way more on... Red than I did Prime. I didn't give Prime a fair shake.
Red is it's surprisingly fun for a kid aimed thing. Like these warrior class figures are. I was going in thinking they're going to be blowing up legends. Everyone's saying they're simple as legends. I'm like, which legends have you been playing with? These are not that bad. These are just got older style engineering, meaning it's not a ball that you unfold a million and one times, fold a pan around. You got a massage piece of it. Oh, here comes the gun. You know.
Yeah, it's a good toy.
Yeah. It's fun to play with. Therefore, it's the worst thing ever.
Fun to play with, not to eat.
Except for still Josh's elbows. Those are horrible.
Yeah. And his feet.
I don't mind the feet. I don't like them elbows.
Really bother me.
One day I'm going to wrench his arm completely off his socket and be like, I got to go buy another one now.
I had the four warrior class figures, but I had to take them back. Just some overtime didn't quite work out like I planned it did. And you know, I really didn't have the money with
feel your pain
with some purchases that I had made. I've got a few things about the show that's got me worried, but the toys look good, and I hope to pick them up. You know, when they get a little more plentiful, and not at a major retailer's higher than average prices.
That little tablet game's pretty fun for basically a free advertisement game, and apparently it works with the toys. I just haven't taken time to scan them.
Oh yeah, I need to do that for Grimlock.
And it's nice to have a gimmick. I mean, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he said, I told him that, you know, it's nice to have a gimmick that really doesn't interfere with the toy, or like Minicons did to a degree. But then he said, yeah, but that the Autobot symbol or the Decepticon symbols are so big to be the QR codes. It's an aesthetic gimmick. Well,
maybe you should point him at some Energon toys, Don.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have. I'm just saying, you know, he did raise a good point of how the symbols have to be a little bit more conspicuous.
Well, they could do like they – go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's just – but you know, but if that's the only downside that I can see, having, you know, an actual gimmick in with your toy line, but it's still that overall uninvasive, that's a definite plus for me compared to what we've got in the past. Well, yeah.
The way it works for the Angry Birds ones is there's a tiny little it's tiny code on the bottom of the toy, and it comes with a little magnifier you basically put over the camera and then stick it over it, and that's how it scans it. So that could go that route at some point.
That'd be an extra parts count to do that.
Well, yeah, but still, come on.
Or hey,
it's like, do you want a ginormous symbol or a little clear matrix?
Well, you know what they could do? They could make the bubble the magnifying glass.
Exactly. Or let's face it, we all have glasses.
I don't.
Brian's glamorous, but all of us ugly people.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think to their point, you know, there's the outer bubble and then there's the inner tray that the toy is in. I think I would make it where part of the inner tray can work as a magnifier and it's perforated so you can just pop it out. You don't have to keep the whole big piece of packaging.
Exactly.
Or hey, just a collector's card or something at worst.
Yeah. With the Combiner Wars stuff, you're getting those heavy cardstock cards.
Right.
You could easily just put a little plastic lens in there that'll magnify.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Cool.
There's always a way.
Yeah. Yeah, there always is. Maybe not. So let's jump to This Week in History. So January 4th, 2005, Dreamwave declares bankruptcy. And
Dreamwave declares bankruptcy and Pat Lee drives away in a Ferrari.
Yeah, so all of the lines, abrupt end, it's over. Sorry.
And the most dude brodiest of bros in the fandom cry a tear.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Well,
it's the best comics.
Yeah. Back then, it was some of the best looking stuff we had gotten to that point.
Yeah.
No, Don.
Yeah.
We just them big old crotches stretched at the camera.
It was some.
By some metric.
Yeah, by some metric, it was some of the best looking stuff. Some metric.
Yeah.
What metric? I just
did an imitation of every page.
If you like vibrant color, it looked great.
The covers were nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. It was in line with the modern technology levels coloring style, just like every other comic at the time. Good job, Dreamwave.
I've never smoked crystal meth, but I've read my comics, and I'm pretty sure I had the same. Like, I had no clue what was going on. I don't know why I looked forward to this. I'm a little upset, and for some reason, I'm buying another hit.
Yeah.
I bought it four times. It was four issues. It's like, all right, I got it. I'm going to read. It's got Big Daddy. I don't know what's going on. I am a literate person.
I remember.
My head hurts. This is awful.
You know, having a break at the end of the year is great, but there is just... You cannot replicate the experience of a Wednesday evening with Rob Springer. I'm sorry, you just can't.
No.
Like, this is... How much were comics 10 years ago? It was like, what, $3.99?
$2.99, $3.99, something like that.
It was about a dollar.
Yeah, they were $2 or $3 at the
time. So you didn't mind buying all the covers, and Dreamwave was like, well, we're going to make lacking quality. We're going to make up with covers.
Just like every other comics publisher.
Yeah. No kidding. They're like, look, guys, we really need the sales. No one's going to buy digital. God, everyone's buying digital. We got to do something. These comic strip guys are going to have to go back to work and start being nice to people in a normal setting.
Yeah.
Well, I remember
Zing.
I remember reading Armada, and I remember liking the Armada comic. I guess. And then they switched over to Energon. Energon had just started.
Chris Arcini did a great job with,
With Furman,
the Armada comic. Furman.
Of all things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably the only thing I'm sad to see go is I was enjoying the comics more than I ever enjoyed the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it's fair. It's fair. Let's go ahead and jump into the news for the week. So, let's see here. Robots in the Sky. So, videos have been posted showing off the cast list and main voice actors of Robots in the Sky. How about that?
Then we've got a quick reference list at TV.
Guys,
you know, run through and check on who's doing what voice. Spoilers, though.
I'm gonna tell you guys right now. We got Frank Stallone.
And remember, at New York Comic Con, we actually had a panel with some of the voice actors. Mm-hmm. It was Constance Zimmer, Will Friedle.
Am
I spelling that right?
Boy Meets World, brother.
Unstoppable.
Carrie McGinnis.
Don't watch that show.
Carrie McGinnis, most important.
But older Boy Meets World.
Braden? Yeah.
And I think Frank is the one that becomes the antelope that becomes the farm combine.
Thunderhoof. This show is amazing. I haven't even seen it yet. We got new characters. Stop. It's 2014. We got new characters. We haven't been able to say that in like, what, 15 years?
Yeah, it's true.
It's the worst thing ever. It's not an overpriced rehash or something I bought 30 years ago. It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
we got Frank Stallone. This is the best thing ever. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
imagine the BotCon, TFCon, ShardCon, please. Any kind of con that has Frank Stallone come. He's like, hey, you guys might remember me from, really? After all this time, this is all y'all want to talk to me about? You're like, yeah. It's the only thing you've done.
So if we have Frank Stallone. What about Clint Howard? Is that
Clint Howard?
I would love that.
That is this show. We got Jefferson Darcy.
Oh yeah, the guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, we got the guy from Revenge of the Nerds. You know, everyone always says when he comes on, he's going to kill the show. It's like, nah.
He was on
Married to Children longer than the guy he replaced.
But they also did the same joke in Batman Brave and the Bold in the last episode.
Yeah, he was Aquaman, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. But yeah, so that's available. You can find that at T-Formers. Let's see here, more videos. So there's an official website update for Robots in the Skies with online games and such.
And a new comic maker.
Yeah, I don't find myself using like the stuff that Hasbro provides online. I kind of regret that because they go to a lot of effort to make this stuff pretty cool for kids. But you know what? I'm a big kid. Sorta.
I'm going to tell you, you're sitting at your desk. You're taking that little 5-minute, not work for a minute break. I just made Bumblebee stand on the moon. Now he's cursing. Yeah, I mean, it's 5 minutes. Okay, click off the page. Back to work. Yeah, no.
But that's all at Hasbro.com/Transformers or Transformers.com.
Yeah, the only thing about RID that I'm holding, I mentioned this on Twitter a few weeks ago. Someone had mentioned to me that how the show's going to suck, and they could tell by the promos and all that. And I kind of went on a little soapbox rant about that, about everybody just needs to watch the show first and then judge it for the quality.
That's the worst show ever.
It could be a good show.
It could be. It could be.
Well, the that's only, just it. It's every time there's anything new.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, let's call out some pretty stupid people are going to be like, hey, I saw half a second. The whole thing is horrible. You know, it's just judgmentalness, and people shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
People are having a preconception, too, from the early footage. They, made promos for YouTube from, and it wasn't finished animation. The stuff that's coming out, the whole first season's on an unfortunately region-locked Chinese video streaming site, dubbed in Chinese, admittedly, but still, the clips that are coming out of that look a lot better than the early promo stuff because it's actually, the finished broadcast-ready animation.
It is what it is. We got a lot of people wanting something unattainable most of the time, and they see something that looks like a modern-day cartoon and does not fit what their mind's eye want. They want this mega-expensive thing like a direct-to-video movie or a big theater thing. It's like, it's a weekday cartoon made to sell toys. It's going to be made cheaply, but at least as long as it's good.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I want to ask is, I hope we eventually find out how far post prime this actually is.
3,000 years.
Well, the technology, and again, Chris is not hiding his face, and he knows why I'm asking, and everyone else does as well.
They finally stepped on Miko.
But I'm just saying,
it takes place immediately following Miko's death.
The world is a sunnier place.
75 years in the future.
Yep. So let's see here, and let's see here. Oh yeah, so we have photos at tformers.com for the Hyper Change 3-step changer Optimus Prime. So I haven't actually looked at it because the link doesn't work.
I saw a clip art of it.
What, Rob?
You mean that had a bunch of other stuff besides, as I recall?
Yeah,
like almost all the Wave 2 Warriors, Legion, all of that.
Let's pull that up.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, Optimus Prime.
I think that went up this morning or maybe yesterday.
God, so the news at tformers.com has been great lately, guys. I don't know, how you guys have been doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
No, you really have. Not just saying that because you guys are here, but I've been very impressed. I'm not.
I'm kidding.
But yeah, so lots of stuff. Oh yeah.
And I love John's guy's year in review.
Oh, thank you.
It was very concise. It was a lot of the year in list is sort of ramble, but y'all were very concise and very, very thorough. So
it's like XV did it, not me.
XV and Rob, thank
XV
you.
XV and Rob, yes. I'm actually looking for that. You guys post so much news. It's kind of, there. It is okay. So the hyperstat. Here we go. That's I kind of like that. It's kind of like a shampoo bottle, but it transforms.
From head to shoulders and back.
But no,
damn it, Don.
Like Rob Springer, did you coin the shampoo bottle description?
I got it from our friend Greg from Mercy. He's the one first heard say it. It's a good term.
It's perfect. And Kim even says that now. Like when we're at Walmart, it's like, oh, well, this is a shampoo bottle. I'm
funniest thing about the shampoo bottle figures? I think a Hasbro investor meeting or whatever, someone asked the production of them because they're everywhere and they keep making them. And they're like, we're really happy with the sales of those because we developed them for they developed them for poorer markets and they sell really well.
They're great.
They're exactly what they are. You're right. It's a cheap toy.
It's perfect. So, jumping to Combiner Wars, we already mentioned it, but all price points, but leader class now out in the U.S. Now, this is the thing I really wanted to talk about. Who did the Photoshop here?
That was an AllSpark member, but it was definitely worth reposting for more visibility.
Yeah, so at the AllSpark, we love the AllSpark. Someone had posted, I've been a member of AllSpark for like 15 years now. God.
Every member that signs up gets a sequential number. Mine's 43. That's how long I've been on AllSpark.
So my original member number was purged. My higher member number is like 400.
I had to re-sign up a few times. You guys remember about 01, 02, where every time you turn around, you had to re-sign it with some server thing.
But my original number, I think, was in the 30s. But
I was on net at one point, so I don't even remember. I don't care about member numbers, so I'm like, what was my number?
I don't know.
Which sock puppet was it?
But whoever it was did this great little Photoshop here where they took the, for scale, they took the kid who's in the
well, you
shots.
Know, you need a fixed point of reference.
Yeah, it works. So we have a photo of Minasaur with Megatron,
Motor Master.
Why can I never remember Motor Master? And what is that, Wind Charger? What is that?
No, that's Dead End?
Oh, yeah, okay.
For those watching the video, I'll do a demonstration of our favorite child model.
Hold up. There he goes.
So, yeah, like, basically, the whole point of this is to figure out, like, you know, how
What's
big is your Megatron. So we have a Combiner, we have Leader Megatron, we got a Voyager and a Deluxe for, you know, a whole scale here.
Is it Motor Breath or...
no, it actually is Motor Master. Master. They got the name
awesome.
Back.
Good.
I'm so glad.
Is that the name they used for the...
Legend. The Legend in the Ultimate Gift Set package.
Oh.
And I believe that's the only place that actually occurred.
And also when they put that out in specialty stores, he was still Motor Breath, single carded as well.
Mm.
Now, here's the interesting thing. An interview done with one of the Hasbro people at BotCon this past year, just a few weeks before the SDCC revealed Combiner Wars, the representative was still calling the character Motor Breath. So it may have been very late stage that they actually secured the name again.
I think so, because the Creon sets Motor Breath too, now that I think about it. I hope they still have the name Motor Breath, because that's a good name for a character that isn't an established one.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would just, you know, give up on a name they've secured.
Because, like, they had Buckethead, I think, to use once. I was like, that's another great name. Why are you throwing this away?
So, moving past Combiner Wars, this is a new story from God, like, 3 weeks ago. But we the last show that we did was the year in review, and it wasn't. It didn't include any new news. So there's a video posted back on December 20th of Bryce Malick, who was story editor for the first two seasons of the Transformers cartoon, and he shot a video at his workplace at
8mm film.
Yeah, at Marvel Productions. So it's really cool, and I'm just basically going to post that on the show notes, so that you definitely want to check that out, though, because it's really neat. And
it's 5 minutes long. It was shot in 84, and at one point in the video, he's miming doing story editing for a season 2 episode. But I mean, it's a really neat look behind the scenes at the offices where the stuff was written in the first place.
Yeah.
Did anyone, when you first read 8mm home movie or whatever, get slightly worried that some creepy stuff was going to be in there too? You know?
I'm sad that I know what you're talking about. So. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Oh gosh, I've honestly forgotten about this news item. This is also from about the same time. It was a first look at Ori Tori. Hero of Steel Optimus Prime. So it's
Ori Toy.
Ori Toy?
Toy.
Ori Toy. There's no H. Hori. I don't know where I got Hori from. The fight stick, I guess. John knows what I'm talking about. Okay. So he's not there.
I do know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Hi, John.
So what? I don't know what this is, though, other than that. Have we had any other news items? Because I literally did started the show notes for this like last year, like 4 weeks ago. So I really did. It's been sitting in Google Docs for like 3 weeks.
Ori Toy Hero of Steel. I love the wording.
Yeah,
it's another one of those high end kind of figures. It's you know, this is licensed third party stuff.
Right, like the Hot Toys make no sense. Yeah. Optimus Prime Edition
or the gigantic Scorponok and Black Zarek.
Kind of want that.
So
I still won't.
Yeah,
I don't want to scare anyone, and I don't want to go too far, but I don't want to like make sausage. But of course, we do the show through Skype, and there's a Skype chat going on where we basically keep apprised each other of things like time and what's going on. And Don is the coolest guy ever because he coined the term two cups, one Don.
Yeah,
not going to explain anymore.
With a K.
With a K. I love Don so much.
That Don era is the greatest.
Okay, so making sausage. Okay, so this was – I had a conversation about this at work today. I'm skipping ahead, guys. USA Today awards Transformers versus G.I. Joe, most insane read of 2014. I turned my friend Jason onto this book today.
Best comic ever.
Yeah. It's – Transformers versus G.I. Joe has pretty much gotten the most mainstream attention because it's weird, but it's a good kind of weird. It's awesome. But I was basically whenever I have a chance to tell people about Transformers comics, I'm like, get More Than Meets the Eye, and get Transformers versus G.I. Joe. But I think actually Jason will probably end up picking up Transformers versus G.I. Joe because it's really more in his wheelhouse than More Than Meets the Eye. But
you know, I was too busy to read my December comics. I just really caught up with them this past weekend. Except for G.I. Joe, I made time for TF versus Joe.
The only thing I make
you don't miss it.
I'm an issue back. The only thing I make sure that I read is Amazing Spider-Man. Still my favorite book, but yeah.
No mercy for Percy.
Yeah, but yeah. So let's see here. So we'd already gotten all of these episode summaries for Robots in Disguise, but we also now have Rescue Bots season 3 episode summaries. Now I'll be honest, Rescue Bots is something I haven't actually watched since season 1. Does anybody here keep up with it?
I occasionally watch it.
I've never seen a single episode.
I have
really?
Never seen
Am
a single
I a bad
episode
fan
either.
It's not bad.
I'm a little behind, but I'm up to date up to 2 weeks ago.
I watched the season premiere of 3, and that's the last time I watched it.
Yeah, we're
just
Prime
to see here. The Dinobots. Yeah.
It's dinosaur mode. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's not It's a show meant for toddlers, but it's a fun show meant for toddlers. I mean, you can just kind of while you're making toast or something, it's over, you know.
Well, it's not
while
just
you're
that
sausage.
Yes.
Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that they've said the drama comes from the rescues, not from the traditional war setting. But the strong thing is the characters in the show. All the characters are very strong characters for a kid's show and.
Very likable. Yeah.
Very likable. It's just a lot of fun to sit back and enjoy and watch it.
It's you kind of. I think we've all got that little guilty pleasure cartoon, like, you know, like yeah, I know it's stupid, whatever, but I help. I like it. It's just one of those you kind of watch and you're like, that's funny. Like, did you see the one with the flying lobsters?
The flobsters. Yes.
Why was that so funny? And it had no. It was like toddler humor, and you're like. It's like they're chasing a girl. She has a star on her jacket. Like, it must think it's a starfish. You're like, oh!
I hate to admit it, most of my guilty pleasure cartoons were filmed and made in the 40s and are no longer playable on television.
Depending on what channels you have on In Demand.
Yeah. Yeah. This,
school safety films. Still love watching them.
Yeah. That's awful. It's awful. But you know,
it's awfully awesome.
As a kid, yeah, I didn't know any better. Let's see here. Moving ahead to third party, Iron Factory. I didn't know who had XV. Did you add this?
Yeah.
Iron Factory, Maiden Legend size, not Windblade figure. Wow, a third party Windblade figure. That's amazing.
And it looks a lot nicer than the real one.
That's so unexpected.
It's really nice looking, actually. I really kind of want to get one.
I've kind of put off buying those third party legends, even though I really want them.
You
it's
want
just
those
like,
so bad.
Dude, it's like the. It's $50 for two legends.
Yeah.
Well, I hear nothing but good about them, though.
I know.
I've heard that. I've heard that the two-pack that has Ironhide and Blur in it, mm-hmm. I've heard that Ironhide is an incredible figure for the size.
Engineering-wise.
Yeah.
I love that scale. And, you know, I love my Legends and Commanders and Legion, the name of the year for them. I love those figures. It's just, it's one of those things that's like, it's $50 for two legends.
Like,
but at the same time, I'm going to be like, how much did I buy that STCC Skywarp 4.05?
Rob Clay and I both said that if there was only one class of Transformer for the rest of time, I think both of us would be fine if it was Legends class.
Yeah, I would be happy.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would want.
Yeah,
because if you look the last, say, 6 or 7 years, at that Legends or even maybe even the Commander price point that they use for Prime, there are some really intricate figures for those size classes in Legends and Commander class.
It's not just that. They're they stay I haven't lost my word. They're consistently better. Like, they keep getting better. It's not like a crap, what happened here? These are all hollow and tiny. I mean, it's like they're consistent. They keep getting better. Like, yeah. They improve it. It's like a...
They really have.
It's like, yeah, like, remember the first ones? Like, you could see Jetfire's fists in Jet mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then, like, a year later, the newer molds are getting better. Like, it's like, I guess that keeping it small is like, okay, here's our confines. Stick with them. It's not like... And then, like, okay, a couple of years ago, well, now we have the ones that are the size of a G.I. Joe, but we have literally this much room to work with. Get what you can out of it.
Well, it's like one of my favorite small figures. It's the Commander class, and I'm holding this up like you all can see it, but of course you can't.
Do it anyway.
It's the orange bulkhead. It's basically the Roadbuster color of the bulkhead Commander class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Cyberverse Beast Hunter's bulkhead.
Yeah. And this is an absolute phenomenal bulkhead for the Commander class. I mean, you would be hard pressed to say this would not be a good representation of the character. You know,
on the same token, I can actually hold this up and people can see. I've got Skyquake, but I've got this and Dreadwing. Dreadwing's actually right here. I've got both of these, and these kind of take me back to G2 because they're a lot like Cyberjets.
Yeah,
which
very
you know
much.
Back then it was the same size and complexity of toy, and it was a really solid thing, and I think kind of ahead of its time. I've kind of gotten into the habit of buying all the like Cyberverse and Generations Legends Jet toys just because they remind me of Cyberjets that I love so much.
Well,
I may have a problem.
Right here,
I kind of disagree. I wish if they had to keep one, they would keep the Deluxe class. I think that's really the nicest figures come out of that class, and I don't know.
Sometimes.
Something else that I was thinking, now that oil is dropping, wasn't one of the reasons for the price increase because they said oil that they use and make the plastics is making the plastics more expensive? If the gas stays down, two years from now,
when the plastic they're making today actually goes into a new toy, you know... Like
we'll
when they're it. When they're the toys are developing at the prices the materials are now will be out in 2 years, and other things will happen in the meantime to equalize the price back out.
Better profit margins is probably what that's going to end up being.
It doesn't even matter though, because with the lead time, there's not going to be an occasion where a temporary dip in one factor or another is going to make the toys at the end of the cycle be cheaper.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to
matter. And over on the AllSpark forums, Joe Kide said that labor and transportation costs are just as much of a factor as the cost of plastic at this point.
And they've said at BotCon for several years, your packaging costs for
more.
The figure could be 30-40% of the total cost right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
One also thing to keep in mind is the clear divide is right now on the shelves. They're actually making a distinct difference between collector and children's lines.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years from now, those deluxes could be amazing-looking mini hot toy things that you can buy at Walmart. But they're going to cost $20, $25 versus the $10 toy, which is made for children. There are probably going to be more of those on the shelf.
With the design team Hasbro has right now, I really don't think the Generations Deluxes are going to really go to that extreme.
Right.
You don't have any of the Combiner Wars Deluxes yet, right, Rob?
Not yet. I'll probably move in a week.
If you think back to Fall of Cybertron Bruticus and those Combaticons and the way they were designed, these are like going in the complete opposite direction. These are an amazing feat of engineering in terms of economy of parts.
Right.
So they're really simple, but they do what they're doing amazingly well. And there's honestly, like, hollow facings don't bother me a lot because it's just the way the toys work.
Forever.
But these barely have any. Like, they've struck on something with these that has – it's really, like, turned around what deluxe-class Transformers feel like and look like. And they're doing so much more than the average ones. I mean – If it just stays at this level, I mean, I think they have hit a golden spot here to move forward with.
The thing to hope for is the people who worked on the current line are still working on the line, because that was developed about 2 years ago, and they've had the past couple of years, not just two, they've had a lot of in and outs of the team. So,
yeah. Let's go ahead and jump to the next item, which is the Perfect Effect Combiner Wars upgrade kit.
Well, you knew someone was going to do it.
Yeah. So basically, they're adding fingers and feet,
opposable hands and feet with ankle tilts. The problem being, at least in these prototypes, the square bottoms of the figures that make the legs are killing the ankle tilt mobility. So,
but we finally get to make it shoot the bird. So all right.
Yeah, I mean they transform into weapons for the individual figures, which is great if you want your aerial bots carrying Gatling guns and weird hand rifles around. But what you doing, Rob?
Oh, I was adjusting something.
I'm glad your pants stayed on.
Yeah, I made a point because it was the frontal this time.
Okay. So, flexible guns. Let's see. So this is a weird one.
So damn pointless.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I agree, Rob. Dr. Wu's partner upgrade kit.
Honestly, I put this in just because of the thumbnail image that was on the news story, which is the disembodied head of Spike Witwicky.
Oh, yeah. So it's literally just the head.
Yeah, it's a replacement, higher detail head for Spike and Daniel to put in the Masterpiece exosuit.
Yeah.
I think these are great.
What you wanted it to be? Well, here's an accessory for the accessory.
Yeah.
These are great. I'm glad someone's doing them because,
look really nice. And if I had one of those, I would seriously consider buying a set of these.
It's definitely got its market. It just seems silly to us outside who are like, that one's kind of ugly. Whatever.
Well, it seems silly when what you're looking at is a picture of the disembodied head of Spike and his son.
So I can have Daniel say, transform! And, I don't care.
While he clutches his father's head in the exosuit's hand.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah.
Another scene cut from the 1986 movie. Rod just sitting there holding Spike and Daniel's head. What happened? But I step in front of the lawnmower.
So this next one's really weird. Meteor Operation, is that new, Doctor?
Meteor Operation is a Facebook group, not a company. Okay.
Doctor Q,
it's an offshoot of Doctor Wu.
Dairy Queen,
reportedly.
So basically, it's a chibi, super deformed Optimus Prime and Grimlock, which looks like a
designed to ride like the movies.
Yeah, it looks like it's a licensed toy. Because
it almost does, doesn't
because
it?
Because this is the kind of stuff that we get licensed from, companies we've never heard of before. Because Hasbro and Takara don't want to license transforming robots typically, but instead of being licensed, it's third party. That's really strange.
They're kind of neat looking, though. I mean,
they are, but it's just odd.
Oh, it's odd, but I mean, third party stuff. It's all over the map.
Yeah. And let's see here. What else do we have in the third party? It's MMC. Third party DJD. Decepticon Justice Division.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's their boss.
That's neat.
Yeah, they're gonna do all of them.
That's MMC.
Yeah, they are, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's Mastermind. I don't think they have a prototype recently for this, but I kind of want to get the one that's the electric chair.
I might be game for Tarn.
Yeah, Tarn will be coming.
Yeah.
I love the name Senecus.
Do what there, Melvar?
I think Kaon is the electric chair, I think.
Yeah. And there's a rendering of him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, they showed some of these at TFCon Chicago,
is there an ad for Good Housekeeping on T-Formers? I clicked a random link and it took me to Good Housekeeping.
I can only hope.
Okay.
Oh, Consumer News. I don't know what I just clicked on, but it took me to some place I didn't want to go.
Basically, T-Formers, visitors, this is called Febreze. Buy it. Spray it around the house. You know it smells like Hamburger Helper year-long.
Hey, that's Brian. Not just T-Formers.
I'm just throwing it out. Basically, nerds.
I don't know how that happened.
T-Formers, I get an ad for the American Red Cross, so I don't know what you're doing, sir.
Okay.
Your browsing history.
I have to go, guys.
That's kind of awesome, though. It's like, man, I have not visited anything but horrible, gross websites. Guy, Good Housekeeping came up.
Dr. Oz, Miracle Anti-Aging Treatment. Okay. ConsumerNews247.com. That was an ad. So, okay.
Yeah, we opened the show with Rob Springer talking about crystal meth, and we wind up with Dr. Oz.
Mm-hmm. Hey, the show is still young, my friend.
I know.
There's another rabbit hole altogether. I mean, we're on a good thing.
So one more.
Yeah, you should like this.
Yeah, Mastermind Creations, G1 Mirage base figure, Sphinx. This one's way nice.
It is nice.
Yeah, this one doesn't crib engineering from a classics toy.
So
an 8-year-old classics toy.
To be fair, it's one of the best toys from the original classics line.
Yeah.
Very nice.
True.
I like this a lot. I love Mirage so much. And the fact that we haven't, you know, gotten a Masterpiece Mirage yet saddens me. But the fact that we are getting some Mirage love in the third party. Like, I want to love Invisible so much, but the vehicle mode's so perfect. Robot mode just hurts.
I didn't put it in the show notes because right now it's just concept art, but Bad Cube, who's done other Masterpiece scale Autobot mini vehicles, has put out art for their Warpath, and I just have to wonder,
I saw that. I almost
guys,
put it in
where
the
is
notes.
Cosmos?
They don't want to kill their line that quick.
Well,
come
also,
on, Cosmos' curse is broken.
The Legends Cosmos that we just got was pretty nice.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but I mean, just think, you know, what you could do with the Cosmos design with, you know, more flexibility, more parts count.
I don't know if that mold needs it, though. I just keep thinking about the iGear Cosmos, and I'm like, I like the Hasbro better, so.
Well, that's completely reasonable, but, you know, something trying to pretend it's a masterpiece would be quite a few steps above that, too. Or, you know, to Kilby's taste, how about Sea Spray?
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, yeah,
I would love
a
Sea Spray. That's a character no one's really done in a while.
Yeah,
Hasbro did Sea Spray.
They did a good job.
Yeah, Bodybuilder Sea Spray.
Yeah.
Hence why it was a good job.
Octo Punch, and I have one.
So,
it's over there, though.
My girlfriend's a mermaid!
I'm Sea Spray. Okay.
Hey, Brian. That's why I had to lift weights.
John.
Before you get off third party, how do you like Hexatron?
So, opening it up, I was super amazed by the box one. It's too far over there to reach, but it had this cardboard outer box. Then the inner box was this clamshell clear plastic that was very G1 like art inspired. That was great. The build quality on it's really nice. It's very heavy. All the joints are nice and clicky. He's really, really nice. I haven't had a chance to play around with it much, but it's very sick shot. It's pretty stellar.
Yeah. Their level of quality is pretty out of sight.
Yeah, this is how I wish all Transformers felt. If all third-party stuff was like this, I would be a much bigger fan. It's super premium.
So it's not KFC.
Yes. No, it's more like Carrabba's, less like KFC. Not that Carrabba's is the finest restaurant around, but it's as far as chain restaurants go, it's pretty good. But okay, so we missed one news item that I did want to cover. Hasbro confirms, and I thought we already knew this, that Combiner Wars with Megatron.
Well, they put it on their Facebook again recently, so.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, we don't know the mechanism of how it's going to be the case.
I think it's just a
sticker.
Yeah, but so.
Ideally, it you know like the promo picture we have has it with the Decepticon symbol on. Hopefully, both symbols are going to be a sticker, and you're not going to have the choice of you know put the sticker over the existing faction symbol.
Yeah,
I think it's more We already knew it, but it's newsworthy just for the fact that Hasbro's actually making a point to say, hey, guys, you know that really popular thing recently? Here it is.
Well, yeah, and like, before Dark Cybertron started, and there were, you know, John Barber was doing interviews about it. You know, one thing he hinted at was they were going to do something in that story, which he was really happy would be reflected in the toy line. This is that thing that happened.
It's just one of those things, like, you know, they put the wrecker sticker with random toys that you can use in place of the Autobot symbol. But it's like, it's no big deal. It's not even on the instructions. It's just, oh, hey, I got another symbol I could use. This is like, hey, we're advertising this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very cool. So also at tformers.com, I think we may have mentioned it earlier. They have, you guys have done a review on the top Transformers news items of the year. Best toys and the best of the Transformers comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So check that out. I guess we do have one Q&A, Rob, to talk about. You sent it to me before Christmas, so I guess...
Yeah. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I have it
written.
Okay,
awesome.
Down. So
awesome.
Our pal Computron said...
I think Don should lead the answer on this, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Excellent.
Okay. So, question. Hi, Rob and RFC. I want to know, how likely is it that we get masterpieces from other lines like Prime and the first Robots in the Sky series? Imagine... Masterpiece, Robots in the Sky, Optimus Prime. What do you think of the idea?
Don?
I think that is totally freaking awesome. Yes.
Well, we almost got it. We almost got it. Remember the vote that...
I remember the vote.
The Star Saber one?
Yeah.
You won't let me forget that. But no,
and I think like Armada Prime was ahead of Fire Convoy also.
Well, that was an error in the counting.
So, we have non G1 generations toys. Hopefully, eventually, we'll get non masterpiece G1.
Yeah, non masterpiece,
non G1 masterpieces.
Well, yeah. We are. Is it Star Saber? Wouldn't that be considered non G1?
No, that's G1.
He's Japanese.
Yeah, that's
G1.
Japanese G1.
Don't be that fan, diecast.
and really,
that's G2.
That's intended for,
isn't that G2?
Yeah,
stuff after the movie. That's G2.
Stuff after the first season.
Well, it's the good thing is with the masterpiece. Even if they do later G1 products, like say we get a Galvatron, say we get of all things an Overlord or
Diatlas.
Or if they can do a, I'm using my theory here that Bumblebee, since y'all can't see him, but since Bumblebee was successful as far as a cohesive toy at that size class, who's to say we couldn't, say, get Lyokaiser from this size mold with six jets? Again, I'm just saying, what if? So, you know, I'm hoping we can use this to get some late G1 stuff. But if we look at the non G1 stuff, Robots in Disguise, Fire Convoy,
Energon Optimus.
What about G1 characters or G1 toys that never got G1 characters that never got a toy? Like speaking of late stuff, what about Super Megatron, Don?
Oh, Super Megatron. Maybe a Return of Convoy, Star Convoy that wasn't quite as a little more streamlined.
Did we ever get a Super Megatron in any form?
I got I put a Megatron head on.
Yeah. And, Super Megatron would be so super niche.
Yeah, I know.
It would say
it's Megatron. I mean, that's all you gotta say. It's Megatron.
Oh, yeah, it's Megatron, yeah.
What MP25 will be.
Yeah.
but I would like to see a lot of, you know, Robots in Disguise, Fire Convoy,
Predaking with a cape. Sorry, I've been wanting that for years.
No, but I will be honest. You know, a Diatlas, a little less boxy Diatlas, like you said.
Sky Gary.
So are we doing our predictions? Because
we're not.
No, this is just spitball.
Okay.
Let's
Ow! No.
Okay.
Here goes the pain.
The question, eventually it'll have to happen if the masterpiece line continues, because
by process of elimination, at some point in the indistinct future, it will have to happen, after they've remade all the other molds several times already, because this will be 20 or 30 years
which ago. You know, basically what we're doing with Generations at this point. I mean, for God's sakes, we're...
In 2025, when it's the 25th anniversary of Car Robots in Japan, you'll get your masterpiece, Fire Convoy.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
He'll get his masterpiece, Ultra Magnus, and that's it. The Ultra
Masterpiece Sideburn.
In all honesty, I hope we get to a point... Sideburn. That the masterpiece toys start being something other than G1, just for the fact that, you know, those kids are adults too now. You know, the Beast Wars kids, you know, they're like, yeah, I really like Beast Wars. Can I get more than two nods a year?
And if masterpiece toys are going to be licensed toys or vehicles when possible, you have to kind of go to something like that.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, do you all think we might see. With Optimal Optimus having that was not the best version of Prime, in my opinion,
Optimus Primal,
that was not the best toy version. I like the first Transmetal Optimus.
I love Transmetal Optimus Primal, yeah.
But with Optimal Optimus having more vehicle based forms, do you think if we got a Masterpiece Beast Wars figure, that would be what they went with?
Oh, that hurts to think about because there's so many. If we can only have one.
I know.
I'd want Transmetal Megatron.
Yeah.
If I only have one. God, I want both. I want Transmetal Megatron and Transmetal Optimus Primal so bad now, Don. What did you say that?
I'm not even going to lie. I'd really like a Cheetor.
Cheetor would be great.
You know, as good as the original Ultra Optimus Primal is, even, you know, 20 years later now, I would love to see what they could do with that in a masterpiece. Like, you know, it's a very simple transformation. They don't have to spend a lot of engineering on that, so they can just, like, cram in all kinds of gimmick and posability and just, like, make the best possible interpretation of that character.
You know,
I would be really interested to see the outcome of that.
Yeah.
I would love to see a masterpiece send. One of my favorite characters is Silverbolt. And
Beast Machine Silverbolt.
Hell no. Hell no.
Don, his tail turns into a sword.
Okay. So
the wings are bigger than the sword.
Are we done with that question, the Q&A?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent question. I'm glad someone else out there has perfect common sense.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll go with that.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, actually, I just want to say...
thanks for the question, Phil.
Masterpiece Energon Treadbolt. That's what I'd want.
I think I'm really hung up on Beast Wars thing. So, yeah, y'all going to have to give me a little bit to get that out of my system.
Let's do that. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back in just... some Dean's French Onion Dip would be great right now. We'll be back.
Waspinator.
Yeah.
Ooh, Rob. Masterpiece Rhinox hit Megatron with the Masterpiece car.
Guys, see where we're going here with it?
Masterpiece Rhinox farted.
The insert of the box, XV. The insert of the box is the car.
That's great.
Can we get a Masterpiece kicker?
Oh, God. Okay, we'll be back.
Ooh.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Hey everyone, it's Diecast here from Radio Free Cybertron, and I just wanted to take a moment to show everyone how easy it is to share our show with your friends on Facebook. All you have to do is go down to your favorite internet browser, click on that, go to tfradio.net, and then right on the right-hand side, you can click on Facebook. Make sure you've liked our page, and then you can share any post or show that we have on Facebook. Type in a quick message, and you can share it on your timeline, on a friend's timeline, or in a group. Pick which one you want to do, and then just hit share link. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to share our show, and we really appreciate it.
Transformation!
Transformers!
The aerial bots and kicking ass shut. Silverbolt blasting, Combaticon. They can all change and be rearranged to form a super robot, Superion. The Combaticons are roaring, Onslaught is roaring. Here's one metamorph in Duragus. They all combine and kick Superion behind as a big bad battle in Bruticus.
That was brutal.
No, that was Bruticus.
Transformers Generation 2 Aerobots and Combaticons each sold separately.
Hey, hey, this is Brian. I just wanted to mention that this week's episode of Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by Audible. I am a huge fan of Audible. Audible is the premier source of audiobooks on the internet. I've been a member now for going on 6 years. Six years. You can get a free audiobook of your choice by going to audibletrial.com/RFC. Just really quickly wanted to take a look at my library. Don't know what's in there right now, so might be afraid to do this. But let's pick out a book. See what I've got going on. Let's see here. Random book. We'll go to the second page. Let's see here. Is this me? No, that's not me. Clicked on the straight link there. So I think I talked about the Pacific Rim book before. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to this one yet. It is The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon. So I picked this up back in July, and it's something that I am going to listen to later this year. We can play a sample.
A quantitative hedge fund, DESCO, as its employees affectionately called it, was started in 1988 by David E. Shaw.
You can actually get a sample of each audiobook at Audible and a review. Just go to audible.com or actually audibletrial.com/RFC and just look around. There are like 100,000 audiobooks, something like that. And it's pretty great. I've been a member forever, and I pretty much get all of my reading done these days through Audible. I'm busy. It's hard. You know, I run a successful podcast. I work a full-time job, plus I do some work on the side. It's just not easy getting all this information in, and I do it through Audible. I love it. That is audibletrial.com/RFC. It would greatly help us out. Helps us out a lot. Go sign up. Get a free audiobook, and there is no commitment after that. The book is yours to keep forever, whether you stay with Audible or not. But if you're like me, you will. Man, you'll stay. 6 years. I love it. And that's how I get all my reading done. audibletrial.com/RFC.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We are back. Guys, Superlatives 2014. What was the best news item of the year?
Combined Age Award. Of Extinction.
Michael Bay not returning for Transformers.
That
5.
Hasn't been confirmed.
We've already
yet.
Heard that news before.
Because we heard that until the movie is actually out.
Yes, until they announce a director for Transformers 5 that is not Michael Bay.
Until the movie is
until
on the screen.
Until we get M. Night Shyamalan's Transformers 5.
Until the movie is on the screen that. In front of me, yeah. I'm not going to believe
At
it.
At this point, I would prefer that.
Okay.
J.J. Nope. Abrams, the Transformers.
Rob Springer, best news item 2014.
You know, I was joking when I said Age of Extinction, but you guys remember around when that trailer first came up, how excited every single person was, especially when we saw it. I mean, even Ender was like, man, did you see that?
I don't think he put it that way, but I think everybody's a little bit surprised.
Everyone was really excited.
Ender may have used those words. I don't think that was anywhere near his meaning.
No, he actually said, that looks effing cool. Like, I mean, that trailer episode that might be, it was also a really good a bait and switch done. Yeah. But
people at work were talking to me about that. They thought it was awesome. And I did too.
Well, we all said it. It's like, there's Optimus riding a dinosaur.
And it seemed like the coolest thing ever. And for a brief moment, it was until, you know.
Well, even when we saw the movie and everyone was like, That was
and
a clip
for a brief
show
moment
movie.
In the movie. It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because that's all it lasted.
Well, you know, I'm gonna get back to serious stuff here. I guess the biggest news of the year, for me personally, Transformer wise, and I think it might technically be last year because it was, I think it was New Year's Eve, New Year's Day when they announced TFCon Chicago. I think that one really kind of blew up in a lot of people, like, what? That, I think that was one of my big favorite ones when they're like
TFCon USA.
Yes, thank you. When it's like a foreign convention's coming to America.
America, what?
Yeah,
that's like BotCon Japan coming to America.
Yeah, we were all like, "What?" I mean, it was. Just, I woke. I remember waking up because I was still working at night at the time, and I was waking up and I was phone. What? Like Red Bull in right into my veins, huh?
Pretty awesome. So, Diecast, what about for you?
Are we going toys?
Best news. Best news. News.
Just news. General. Age of Extinction.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Bumblebee because that was that masterpiece. Bumblebee.
That wasn't
was
news
a shock.
Last year. That wasn't news last year. 2013.
That's 2013.
Yeah.
Oh shoot.
2014,
I'm gonna have
dude.
To go. 2014. I'm gonna have to go with XV. Well, it just came out, so I assume that I'm gonna go with XV and say Combiner Wars.
I think that's a pretty safe bet for most people.
I think Combiner Wars and Angry Birds is the only thing news that happened this year that we heard of this year.
Yeah,
so everything else was left over.
But last year. So, yeah, 2013, we found out about Bumblebee like in August.
Yeah, it was right at the end. We heard about everything about it next year. Angry Birds, Combiner Wars.
So, XV, Combiner Wars.
Yeah.
Rob Clay.
Combiner Wars.
Melvar.
Oh, I was totally serious with the Michael Bay not being in Transformers 5. I want that to happen so badly.
I mean, that's a valid choice, even if it's not going to happen.
Yeah, as a default, I'll go with Combiner Wars as well.
That's pretty awesome. John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry.
What are you saying?
No,
how about this? Combiner Wars and Combiner Wars as the theme for the next Transformers movie.
That's
hey, and you know what? That's movie 5, and there's five Transformers in a combiner.
Okay, cool.
Guys,
yeah, let them ruin that too.
The four movies combined with part 5 to make the excellent box set. That's the advertising.
You know what it's going to be like. We have combiners, and they're going to combine at the very end of the movie, and then last Prime's going to kick them all, and they're going to fall apart, and that's going to be in the.
Where your combiners are here. I'm going to kick your butt for a minute. Join me or die.
Don, best
I would,
news.
An Optimus will kill someone.
Best news. News only.
Best news. I'd say Combiner Wars just because it was so unexpected just for them to devote an entire season of toys to, you know, that
concept. Well, and that, you know, because we found out about RC technically in 2013, so Don can't use that.
Yeah.
Apparently, we find out everything 2 years in advance.
You remember when
diecast? It's a little known fact, but that's the development cycle for the average Transformers toy.
Well, you guys remember what was it about summer? I think BotCon when they kind of hinted, but didn't tell anything, and everyone was like, "Guys, think about it. If you do the math, okay?"
Oh yeah, well,
and
we
were all theorizing it, and it was like, and then it got happening, and everyone was like, "Ah, I'm gonna sort of be oh
yeah."
Yeah, I mean, they showed at the Hasbro panel at BotCon a silhouette of Superion because, like, literally it was, you know, the representatives were going, their bosses told them, you can't talk about this, we promised to reveal to someone else. So, you know, the people that went took the materials with to do the very most they could without actually violating that order.
You know what the best part of that was? The next day, Pete asked us if we had seen Superion.
Yeah.
Like at his secret panel, like the secrets of BotCon, because he was like, "Well, didn't you guys see cool stuff like yesterday at the Hasbro panel? I mean, didn't you guys like see Superion?"
And we saw a Rorschach blob that looked for more.
It was like, "Yes, we did, but we didn't."
Okay, so I just want to say, so the best news item for 2014 was Combiner Wars. Okay, so let's move to toys. Say more, Rob Springer.
You know, let me take a drink.
Can we say toys that came out in 2014?
Toys that came out in 2014.
Yeah. Just so I don't pick like Magnus.
Well, we're reviewing 2014, so.
I don't know. I mean, I would kind of say, like, you know, Magnus came out 2 days before the year ended. I'm not sure that completely should count as a 2014 toy.
You know, the thing is, there's a really a lot of good stuff, both official and unofficial, this year. So my favorite thing was something I didn't even think I was going to like, and that was the one-step changers. Because they're not very nice-looking toys. They're very basic. They're toys. They're not action figures. They're not hot toys. I have transformed Prowl 50 times while we've been recording.
I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, they're fiddle toys.
You know, Drift was the first one to have that butterfly knife deal, and everybody loved that. So they started making tons more that do that. That Prowl does it. Sideswipe from the new Robots in Disguise series, I think that one does that one too.
So, you know. The other transformation schemes, the truck one's pretty good. There's a car one there's about a good three or four transformation schemes. The dinosaur one's pretty good. And not all of them one step, like Bumblebee takes an extra, the first one takes an extra twist or two, but it's like, they're toys in the most rudimentary sense of I'm playing with this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to lie, I had my Drift, and I was like, okay, I really want that Drift. I'm going to buy this Drift. And then I carried him around like a little teddy bear for a week. He was in my cup holder in my car when I went to work. I was like, at my girlfriend's house, she's asleep, I'm watching TV.
I remember doing that with bot shots.
Yeah,
when those
Toy. And you know, I mean, it's not everyone's cup of tea either. No. So if you like the masterpieces, you're like, this is stupid. But if you're like me and can't stay still, I don't know. Something about these, and a lot of people obviously like them because they're fun to collect because they're not expensive. There's a certain charm about their extreme basicness. I don't know. It's burp. That's a burp. And this year, I think my favorite of the year has been One Shot.
Diecast.
I'll go with Ultra Magnus.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, you did get it in 2014, so.
Yeah.
I don't have mine yet, so I'm damned jealous. XV.
And you got to have an arms race with over the third party and the official one at the same time it was happening.
Okay, yeah. XV.
Arms race. Y'all quit being all weird, Tumblr.
Man, does that come after the Combiner Wars?
Yeah, Transformers arms race. No, I'm going to go out on a limb here and just guess Melvar is going to be with me on this Cloud Rodimus.
Yes. Yes, sir, indeed.
Wow. Unexpected.
Sometimes the Deco does it, you know?
I'm cheating on mine, so.
No, I mean, it totally. The Deco sells that. It's the best thing.
Dang it, I need to get that.
If I have to go with an original mold for this year, I'm going to go Masterpiece Wheeljack.
Okay, you don't have to. Neither. I'm cheating. I'm picking two. So
wait. Before you get to that, though, Kilby, what did you expect me to pick for best toy?
I don't know, but I wasn't expecting Cloud Rodimus. So I'm
all right.
Common Rider Watermelon Ninja.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
I didn't buy one of those.
John Luna. John.
I'll just say, even though he wasn't perfect, clearly. I liked Brainstorm, I guess, just for the attempt, I guess.
I, for the same reason I thought about it. I thought about that.
Yeah, but. I think like there's a big asterisk next to him, I think. But I'll give him. And then best paint job, Crosscut. I thought that was an awesome recut.
Yeah, Crosscut.
Yeah, I mean, if we judge like redecos also, I would definitely give high marks to Crosscut.
Yeah. Skids, it was pretty much universally panned. Crosscut is a straight-up repaint with a different head. Everyone's like, this is a great toy. It's still a horrible toy. Yeah, it's just a really pretty, horrible toy.
Like my experience is Crosscut feels better as a toy than Skid did, and it's not the first time I've had that happen with a recolor. Sometimes the different plastics just work a little better.
I think the proportions work with that head really well, too.
Well, it's not the technically best toy of the year, but the thing I've messed with the most over the year is Legend Swerve, who is, you know, more than meets the eye Swerve, so that's pretty much my favorite of the year.
That's interesting.
I like that choice.
Melvar is Cloud Rodimus. And so that leaves Don and me. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian. You go first.
No, you go first.
I bet I know Don.
Don, no, Don, you go.
Okay.
Energon RC. How about I got one?
Can I do official and unofficial?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right. Officially, it's going to be RC. I mean, obviously, right. Toy I've been waiting for RC. Forever. Obviously, it's a low-hanging fruit, but that's my favorite toy. Official toy. Unofficial toy. I'm going to put my most favorite and my most disappointing in the same figure, Kronos. Kronos from a visual standpoint in robot mode, he is the Jet Skyfire I've always wanted. I love him in robot mode. He looks the way I always imagined.
He's not the one we always wanted, but he's the one we deserved.
But I am disappointed with the way it turned out, with the problems that happened with the figure. But of all my third-party things, he's the one that I just love the way he looks. Now, I've got Utopia and Quantron. I have not a chance to open them, so I'm not can't count those yet. But for me, the most favorite and most disappointing dish of third party was Kronos.
So the one I'm going with two. One I don't have. I don't actually personally own it. But for the novel fact that it exists, and the fact that we were surprised by it, and the fact that it is based on one of my favorite toys of the last 10 years, it's going to be BotCon Scorponok. Super surprised the way that worked out. Super surprised that they actually retooled it, gave it a new head. The fact that they used Spike from Fortress Maximus. Super impressed and surprised. So that's pretty surprising. So way to go, Fun Pub, on doing that. And number two, toy that I actually do own. It may not be my absolute technical favorite, but it's my sentimental favorite, and that's G2 Sideswipe. Masterpiece G2 Sideswipe. I love the fact that it has a Derek Yanniger head, or face.
Right.
Sideswipe's not my favorite Masterpiece toy, but give him spiky wheels and a Yanniger face, and it's pretty much my favorite Masterpiece toy. I'm very happy that it exists.
It seems like that's the Masterpiece everyone forgot about.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it, but everyone forgot about it, too.
Well, Masterpiece still mainly aims for G1. You throw in something like G2 that actually puts effort into it under a color scheme, it's going to be the black sheep of the family, you know? It's going to be like, look
at
this really awesome...
badass sheep of the family.
Exactly. Look at that badass robot toy. Yeah, G1.
I actually thought that was like 13, no. But...
And we found out about it in 2013, but it came out in 2014.
So at some point I will get like a Bumblebee that's solid gold chrome, right?
I hope so.
Oh, man.
I want to have a motor in it, too, that you pull back.
I want a hubcap.
Let's see here. And predictions for 2015. This one probably we can just bounce around on, but let's start off with Rob Springer because we like to.
Hey, that's right. Predictions for 2015. Okay. I think this is going to be a year. I'm going to be a little downtrodden. I think this is going to be the year we're all going to be expecting something really big to happen, but it just kind of stays the course. Like, we already know about Combiner Wars. We know about RID. Right now, the only thing we really need to see is how RID's going to turn out. And, you know, hopefully the comics stay the course. This year, predict just stays the course of quality going on. You know what I mean? Just... So far, everything's going good. We're on a high note starting the year, you know? So that's my prediction. Nothing more big. Let's keep the course going for this year.
Stay the course.
Exactly.
I'd be thrilled with that.
Yeah.
There's really kind of a happy level medium between the third party and official right now. Everything seems to be pretty high quality. There's a little something for everyone. So that's my prediction. Please don't promise us something awesome that ends up just being all hype. Of course.
Diecast,
do you want off the wall prediction or actual think we're this will happen?
Do either one.
Okay, because off the wall prediction, I'm going to say Masterpiece Unicron. I think they went small with Bumblebee and they're going to test the waters and they're going to go
one
bigger.
Step Unicron.
And you know the instruction sheet with Bombshell, you saw MP Megatron on there, which is almost a definite. It's not been officially announced yet, but there's enough rumors out there floating around that I think it's something that's going to happen. But the other line art that was on there with the other masterpieces was Unicron. So I think there's a strong possibility that that may happen.
It's retracts.
So, was masterpiece? Yeah, retracts would be great. So was Megatron your definite?
Megatron would be the definite, yeah.
Okay, XV.
Yeah, I think Megatron's pretty likely for this year, and like, I'm gonna just predict that some of those so far unconfirmed inventory leaks were probably true too. We're gonna see a Devastator as the big Combiner Wars toy for this year. It's gonna be the next Metroplex, and as good as the Combiner Wars toys are, just in first wave, I really cannot wait to see, you know, how much better this can turn out with an extra year's worth of engineering development behind it. You know, I think my realistic prediction, I guess, is that Combiner Wars is just going to get better as it goes along.
John.
Predictions. I'll say ditto to what everybody else said, and I'll say just from like a, if I was like at Hasbro, based like putting my mind in there. Okay, so I'll say this: if the RID cartoon doesn't like get an adequate audience or it feels lost again, sort of like Prime was, I predict whether we hear about it or not, that Hasbro will make some kind of play to get Transformers distributed on other channels, kind of away from Discovery Family.
Well, it's on Cartoon Network, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, try. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So anyway,
think your prediction came true.
My prediction already came true. See, kind of. Oh, also, they.
John, what are the lottery numbers next week?
Do they need to like? Is that like on the packaging?
I don't think so.
See, I don't remember stuff like that where they're like. Anyway, they need to do more marketing regarding that kind of thing. Distribution change. Anyway, okay. So real quick for like toy predictions, I'm gonna say. My out there one is that maybe even if it's like a repaint, they figure out a way to give us the fifth aerial bot jet.
Hey, you wait for that Collector's Club exclusive once a repaint of one of the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Somehow we'll get it just because it's a Band-Aid and they'll say whatever. Yes,
They will remold the Firefly into.
Yeah, that's the path of least resistance on that, and I can totally see that happening. Maybe not even as like a club exclusive thing, just to, because you know we're missing Wild Rider out of the Stunticons also. So all you need to do is put two recolors together in a box. Don't name the toys that are on there because your target audience knows who they're supposed to be. Just give it a generic set name like the Protectobot sets that just came out. You know, you can totally make that work.
Right.
So, Rob Clay.
Okay. Just my. Out there prediction, this is more a hope than a prediction, is that if Devastator is the big thing this year, I would like to see the SDCC version to have Prowl just so that it exists. I would not end up getting it, but I would like it to happen.
And what if it's just like, okay, so what if it's, you know, the Devastator toy, but it does not have like a transforming Prowl component, it just has like as part of the packaging a removable Prowl-shaped head that you can stick on top of it?
I'd actually be okay with that.
Okay. That'd be fine, yeah.
Especially since, again, I would never be able to afford it either way, so that works.
Yeah.
But in general, my prediction is that 2014 was a really great year for the comics, and I think 2015 is going to be better.
Wow. The momentum is going that way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're setting a high mark there, but I think it's something they can achieve.
Just think of the parallel when we – 09, 010, you know, 10, 10 – when we were bringing 010, I always do that.
Well, you know, in 2010 there is a zero before the 10.
There is,
exactly.
Yeah, so we're good.
But we were 2010. We could not stop. You know, man, these comics are horrible. Years later, we're like, this is the best thing ever.
They were horrible.
We used to rag on Amy. We used to rag on Lady Rack for liking the comics so much. And you know, while they were bad, she was ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, let's see here, Melvar.
Okay, I think pretty soon we're going to see a Combiner Wars Bruticus.
Yeah.
I think that's coming. As far as Masterpiece goes, the pickings are pretty slim for Decepticons, so I see them coming out with Conehead Jets.
Yeah. That's a fair bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Don?
Well, as far as what I would like to say, I think we're going to see in Toy Fair or San Diego or even BotCon, I think they're going to announce Ultra Magnus coming over, especially with the movie anniversary coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think for Masterpiece, I think we're going to be seeing the Megatron's a definite, pretty much a given. But I would like to see them announce, since G.I. Joe just got a new brand manager, and with G.I. Joe Transformers being as popular as it is in the comic book, I think as far as my off-the-wall thing, if we see anything this year, it'll be G.I. Joe and Transformers together. So Joe,
fingers crossed.
So Joe can use the Transformer energy that's going on right now.
So it can piggyback on what Transformers is built.
Right.
And not die as fast.
Plus the comic.
Like the movies did.
From the comic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, because they've trademarked masks, figures, accessories, and such. They've done Visionaries. We now have a new G.I. Joe brand manager.
And there's going to be no G.I. Joe at Toy Fair.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. But they are
preparing something for JoeCon this year.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, that with these Marvel properties, these Hasbro properties coming back from the dead, especially Visionaries and Mask, them tying G.I. Joe to Transformers as a launch vehicle to pull the energy from the comic success and the toy success, I think we'll see something pretty amazing come San Diego, if not BotCon.
You know, Don gave me a thought here, too. You know, at one of the shows this summer, they can totally announce that, they'll be bringing over Masterpiece Magnus, and because it's the movie anniversary, they'll be reissuing Masterpiece Hot Rod.
Oh, God. Okay, so... jumping ahead, for me, my two predictions are, one, basically mirroring what XV and Rob and the guy said, except I think Generations is pretty much going to stay the course, but I expect to have more non-G1 characters show up in Generations.
It's probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
Not this year, but on your worst.
I don't know.
Alpha Bravo. Off-road.
not even just Neo G1. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, Generations is, you know, catering to 35-year-olds, but there are a lot of 25-year-olds out there who watched Beast Wars or Armada, and I see more and more people who their G1 really was Armada or Energon.
Huh?
I was reading a thread on a Facebook group, and like at least a third of the favorite Transformer series for the people posting was Cybertron.
Thing is, and XV and I were talking about this in one of the articles we did, is that the focus of the current design team has been very G1 to the point where a lot of the engineering on the most recent figures is just, you know, G1 with ball joints. You know, Bombshell in particular, great figure from everything I can see, but extremely similar to the original in a way that Generations and Classics up to now have not always been. So,
I mean, it doesn't have to have the transformation scheme of a Unicron Trilogy toy to be a Unicron Trilogy character. I mean, it even could be a repaint.
Fair enough.
I mean, who?
I would like to see repaint slightly better than Leader Armada Megatron, however.
Yes. Yes.
Who was it that said it looks like you've got G1 Megatron cosplaying? That's what it looks like.
Everybody
cosplay. Yeah.
And my other prediction, I don't think it's off the wall, but I expect Transformers comics, specifically More Than Meets the Eye, to get more, when I say mainstream attention, mainstream comic media attention. Mm-hmm. It picked up a little bit toward the end of the year, but I expect to see at the end of 2015 it being on more best of lists from people outside of just Transformers fans.
Right.
So that's my predictions.
I think it's going to be Angry Birds Transformers personally, but
could be.
That's a good comic.
Okay, so guys, anything else?
The Combiner Wars figures are pretty great.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, pretty happy so far.
Yeah.
I need to.
Yeah, I mean, everything I have so far, I am totally satisfied with.
I got my replacement Prime today, so hopefully his head doesn't rip off.
Oh, I forgot about that. So actually, QC. So Prime, your head, the head broke off. The Tampograph was
the super head or the regular?
The regular.
The Tampo was off on XV's bombshell. Like, bah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my replacement.
The tempo on my Power Glide is kind of iffy at the bottom, like the shape of it, but it's not as bad as what XV had.
Yeah, so it's kind of curious. But yeah.
Overall, though, the QC is actually really good on these.
Well, if you look at Prime's head, there's no screw in the back of the head, mm-hmm. so they actually hold it together with glue. Mm-hmm. And they just put a little bit too much glue, and it froze the peg. And when I spun the head, I thought it was actually the glue breaking loose, but actually the peg just broke off.
Wow.
Oh. Well, no, but like, you know, yeah, I mean, I had the bombshell problem, and you broke your Optimus, but, no, like, on the whole, though, there's a really low incidence of QC issues with these toys. My Skydive has some paint scraping problem, but I think that's more a case of, you know, the paint is just not sealed on very well for the way that toy has to move to transform. Well, I think that's going to be just a normal wear and tear thing.
Aren't these things being made into new facilities now, too?
I don't have any of the packaging nearby to check, but some of the stuff is being made in Vietnam.
Yeah, you know? So maybe there's a learning curve. We're getting
made
a
in Vietnam.
Yeah, no, my Red Warriors say that, so maybe there's a learning curve they're going through as well.
Yeah, probably a little bit, but no, just
or
like
maybe it's just crappy production.
The thing is though, overall these feel really, really good.
Right.
You know, sturdy and solid and. Yeah, I mean, they're not the most complex things, but that is totally okay for what they're doing.
Right, right.
Yeah. Hey, and one more thing before we go. I just want to mention to everybody. So instead of, like, spending Valentine's Day with friends, family, and loved ones, or whatever you do, spend it with us watching our Toy Fair coverage that we do every year. It's always the best thing that happens all year.
Look at it this way. Look at it this way. You'll be spending like 5 or 6 hours in the afternoon with us, and then you can still go and spend the evening with, you know, someone.
Yeah.
Except for me, who will be in New York covering it.
Yeah. So it'll
filing
be
his divorce, it, filing his divorce papers through the mail.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be fun
to
your
wife
finds out about that.
But that's the day that we're going to have the Transformers coverage from Toy Fair that we have each year. Last year, Diecast was actually there, which was the first time that we've had one of our folks. Usually we have a friend of ours, usually like Anthony or somebody there. But this year we'll have, I guess, Anthony and Diecast, which is awesome. One of my favorite things that happens. And, Toy Fair.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Toy Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. That's Christmas than Christmas is for me. So.
Yeah, it's that and usually BotCon, the tops.
Yeah,
and
the cool. Well, thing the is, last couple of years, you know, BotCon's been a little supplanted by SDCC, at least from a spectator perspective.
Yeah, and hopefully this year most of us will be at BotCon, except for Rob Springer for some stupid reason.
He's still figuring out if he wants to or not.
God, you need to.
Oh, hey, you want to.
But I want to. It's just making it happen.
Right now, though, we are looking at being at Jolanta again this year, aren't we?
Right. The Great Atlanta Toy Show, Jolanta, March 13th through 15th.
Yeah.
So y'all all drive to Atlanta. Now.
Uh-huh.
John,
I will say say this: I am really hoping this turns out to be a good year for all of our friends in the Joe fandom because they have had a really sucky year.
Yeah.
I mean, they need a win. I am not making light of this. I am being serious because there was how many years did we have post G1, pre G2? That
about a year and a half.
Well, I mean, yeah, we had nothing. I mean, at that point,
for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
And but ours, that was an anniversary year. Last year was an anniversary year, and the theme just
50th anniversary for the 12-inch figures. I mean,
yeah, but yeah. So I'm really hoping that all of our listeners that are Joe fans, I hope y'all really get a good year out of this. I really do.
Yeah.
The funny thing, when we were at Joe Lana last year, Joe Lana, the G.I. Joe portion, it's a half toy show, half Joe convention. Those guys were mostly doll, the 12-inch guy collectors anyway. They were so like, yeah, we're used to getting kind of shaft here.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I was thinking too. And Kelby was pointing out, you know, 50th anniversary of the 12-inch figures. You know, those guys are pretty used to just fending for themselves at this point anyway. So I don't.
They're
think
literally
really...
like fan produced stuff everywhere. Like there's like all these guys with custom heads, all sorts of. You know, it was kind of like, huh.
Yeah, they were doing the third party thing when I was 10.
Yeah, they are not fond of Fun Pub either. Oh man, the stuff I heard.
That's pretty great.
Wow,
okay.
Imagine that.
They're a window into our future.
Okay, God. Wow. That's the thing that bothers me at Jolanta. I was like, oh God, this is us in 15 years.
Uh-huh. Hey, Brian, that means we need to cosplay as Jolanta people, so let's go get some dirty sweatpants.
Remember that guy who was cosplaying as Cobra Commander? It was basically Freddy from the Friday the 13th Part 2, or Part 3. It's Cobra Commander. It was awful.
He had like a pair of Dickies on and like a homemade hood.
Yeah, it was awful. It was terrible. But I can't wait to get back. It was a great convention. We encourage all of our listeners in the Atlanta area to go to. And we might hang out with Scott Hall. Who knows? I don't think he's going back.
Let's not forget the epic conversation we had with your wife. Hey, who's that old guy at Scott Hall's table? Scott Hall. Who's that old man at Lita's table? Lita.
Oh, that was great. Okay, so you're helping organize this convention, dude. So you might want to pull back.
I'm just doing the Transformers panel. I ain't got nothing to do with anything else.
Okay. So yeah, we need to plan that panel out. That's fun. Okay,
we sure do.
So we will be back next week. Happy New Year, and thank you all for joining us.
Everybody, take care.
Have a good one. See you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?